This episode, first of all, I want to give a trigger warning because this is going to be going into some detail over a quite traumatic events that, as we all know, as abusers and those who have witnessed it ourselves, it it can set you aback. So I want to give that warning ahead of time. This is I've gotten a few emails along the way, and this was one that definitely stood out. Gave me a lot of detail on what happened. So I understand if you cannot listen to this episode. Just want you to know that there are definitely some triggers along the way in this one. So with that being said, I do want to thank you guys for coming back and listening to me. As I have stated before, my goal and my whole intent is to help those that are going through this and those who are witnessing it, and those allies and advocates that, maybe there's something that can be done, for those that are going through it, because it is a very difficult situation to step in or to witness or anything for that matter. This one, it was written by somebody who, I'm just gonna wind up reading her email, is what I'm gonna do. I've already spoken to her, so, but it starts out by saying, "My sister sadly died as a result of her abuser's rage on the night she tried to break off their 4-month relationship. This was 22 years ago, 9/26/1999. She was 17 years old. She was tortured, assaulted, and her life ended with one bullet to a very sensitive part of her body. Her murderer is now up for parole from his finished sentence of 22 years. I received that letter today as I am considered a secondary victim because she is deceased. I'm sure I don't have to tell you the type of pain, anguish, and trauma felt that came flooding back after reading that letter. The letter suggests my parents and I voice our opinions and feelings to the parole board to this court date against the release. It also suggests I get as many letters from friends, family, my community as possible, send ahead of the court day, protesting his release with our valid concerns and fears. Because you have built a public platform on this topic and largely lived in the nightmare of domestic violence yourself, I'm wondering if perhaps you have any insights, thoughts, or ideas into how I should move forward with writing this statement. If you knew of any resources," and she went on to, go on from there. This is something that anybody who is going through domestic violence, this is their absolute fear. Flat out. I've spoken to many victims themselves. I remember the times when, no matter if I was being hit, if I was being ridiculed, if whatever was going on, this was my fear. My fear was he would kill me and wind up doing something to my family as well. More importantly, at that time, was my son. And that's part of the reason why it's so difficult. And this young lady was 17 years old. She'd only been involved with this person for 4 months. He wound up doing horrific things to her. And he's still victimizing the family because now, because the way that the laws are set up, yeah, he got the 22 years. You took someone's life, you're gonna get that. And there's a lot that goes with that. And they're having to relive everything that they went through that night, that day that they got that phone call saying that, her sister had passed in such a horrific way. These are the things that this is why the laws need to change. This is why when we see something, yeah, it might be simple to, you see something, say something. Yes, I fully do agree with that. And if there's any way you can reach out to that victim and say, hey, don't let yourself be alone. Be very open with them to some degree at least. Say, hey, if break up with them over the phone. It may not be your typical, like even for me, the way that I wound up breaking up with my spouse was not the best way. It was not the way I ever envisioned me ending a relationship with anybody. But it's because you're not dealing with a normal individual. You are dealing with somebody who is off their rocker. They have a twisted mindset, and there is nothing you can say or do that's going to get them to understand that. And this is, it is just very important for all of us within the community, those of us who are allies, those that are, have gone through it themselves. I would not be surprised if while I was reading this, it took me a few takes for me to get this out without getting emotional on it. Took me a while to go from me first getting her email to now, because I had to get whatever it was out of my system, because there was a lot of years that I spent that way, and I spent many years with this person. This wasn't like this person. They were 4 months and he killed her. I don't care what's gone on in your relationship. There is nothing, but nothing, that says that that is ever okay. You should not ever be tortured. You should not ever be assaulted in any shape, way, or form. And you go to the degree of killing somebody because they want to break up with you. This, like I said, this isn't the first time. I've heard of, for many years, I was a daycare teacher. And there were stories on the news. There were women that I knew at other daycares, not the daycare that I currently had worked at that particular time, thank goodness. But it was somebody who had been a coworker of mine that she wanted to break up with her husband. And then there was even another one where the husband thought she was cheating. She wasn't. Okay. And he literally went to the daycare and started shooting, which means there were children who got not only injured, but that were killed. They killed her. This is a very traumatic thing. If anybody has ever been through or even heard of a school shooting, for instance, these are children that typically, when at least the ones that I have heard about, were typically when the school ages were gone. So they school ages were in their school, their elementary school. And but you have children who are all under the age of 5 or less, and most of the time it's 4 or less, which means you have infants that are 0 to 1 years of age. You have a toddler room that is the ages between 1 and right like the day before they turn 2. You have a 2-year-old classrooms, which means it's purely just 2-year-olds. Then you have your preschool classrooms and your pre-K classrooms, and those are a mixture between 3 and upwards to 5-year-olds who had to live through such horrific events before they've even stepped foot into an elementary school. All because of somebody's jealous rage. Except these are the things that go on, that go unsaid. Or you hear politicians come up, oh, we're sorry for the loss and da-da-da. Okay, well, there's nothing that's being changed about this. And it doesn't matter whether there were guns involved or not. You know, unfortunately with her, yes, that's what ended her life eventually. You know, but not until after he had tortured her and assaulted her and did God knows what else, you know. And these are a lot. These things happen more often than what people may think. And it is horrific that anybody has to even go through any kind of domestic violence, period. Period. But when you add to the mix that somebody has been killed because of this, because somebody doesn't have the self-control, somebody hasn't, you know, basically it's little boys who not getting their way, or, you know, in, like I said, just the perspective that I take, okay, because I dealt with a man who was the abuser on my end. And in this situation, another, it was a man who did this. Okay, I'm not saying that women can't. It's just my perspective is more from the man being the person that does the abusing. So this is something that we need a difference in the way that this is handled. I remember that, I'll be honest, if it wasn't for me, COVID helped me. It may sound like a very twisted way, but COVID is something that helped me to be able to manage going through some of this. Because there were certain things that kept me sheltered because of COVID mandates. It's very difficult to face your abuser. Just them being present is a very intimidating, volatile type of situation, you know, because everything comes rushing back. And if there is ever anybody that you know that is going through anything like this, that they are a victim of abuse and they are trying to break up, and you know, you've been talking to them, they're open about, you know, hey, I gotta break up with this guy, this is just too much for me. For her, she was a smart young woman. She realized within 4 months of their relationship, this is not going well, I need to get out of it. Unfortunately, she found herself alone. And that's what did her in. Where if he was there with other witnesses, like say family or friends or whatever, and then he got brought over, or a phone call. Like I said, sometimes you have to break up with these people in a very unorthodox way, to say it, to put it lightly. Sometimes it is literally, you have to ghost them, okay? Because that's going to be the best way for you to get out. Because the moment they even speak to you, there's going to be more of an issue, you know? Or if you find themselves, you're trying to break up with somebody, on a normal basis, yeah, do face-to-face, that's what you're supposed to do. It's the cordial thing, hey, we got together, we should be able to split up with some kind of sound mind and body type of thing. Yes, but in this type of situation, you can't. If somebody's being abused, they don't have a sound mind, body, or soul. They have altered somebody else's life because of their wants, desires, and they're not getting what they want. And it is their way of throwing a tantrum. And unfortunately, their tantrums inflict pain, and it can include bodily harm, financial harm, your pets can be included, your children can get hurt, you name it, everything can be involved. There is spiritual warfare that goes on. There is physical warfare. There is mental anguish and mental abuse that goes on because of this. They make sure that you don't have the money to be able to leave if you did decide to do that. You know, they're deathly afraid of you leaving because, one, you're going to wind up spilling the beans of what they did and spreading to God knows where and who about what they did to you and letting everybody know who it was. And that never goes well for them, you know. And I really, really cannot emphasize. There were things that I did during my breakup that I feel put me in more danger. Basically, because I didn't know any better. I had never been in a situation like this that I had to run and hide from somebody that I was involved with. And it's difficult to just, that doesn't even begin to describe the anguish that goes on with stuff like this. But if you ever know of anybody who is going through an abusive relationship and they are at the point where they want to get out, all I can do is beg for you to get through to them to not break up in a normal, orthodox way. Because that is going to put their life in danger. And whether that means he comes over and she tries to split up with him when there is a group of people, fine. And that still could cause damage. He could still be an issue where if he's a gun carrier or if he carries a knife, somebody can easily get hurt by anything. And even if he doesn't, there are plenty of weapons that are found within a household, period. That if you have lost your mind, that's what you're gonna do. And if that means you gotta break up by the phone, by text, by whatever, ghost them, you know, whatever the situation is that you gotta do, do it. And do not look back, because what you did was trying to save your life and protect those around you. Period. That's exactly what that was. And I just wish, and I really hope that there is definitely a change in the way that the laws are. Because there is way too much abuse that goes on, and too many times you wind up with a 17-year-old dead because of a 4-month relationship that she tried to get out of. And I don't care if it was 4 months, 4 years, 40 years, it doesn't matter. You know, it just goes to tell me a lot about this young woman that she was trying to get out. She was trying to break up with him. And unfortunately, she was breaking up with him by herself without anybody else there. And when that happens, there's no witnesses. And it does. It puts you in a much, much higher risk of not coming home that night. And at the time, they don't think twice about it. You know, I don't really know what goes in their mind. And I am thankful that I did not wind up being the way that she is, you know. And now her family is having to deal with, you know, this over and over again. Every single time his parole comes up, they're gonna have to fight it. And that is very difficult for anybody to have to deal with. You know, like I said, it brings up all of those emotions and all those feelings that you had, and the flashbacks of, for instance, having to, you know, say, yes, this is my daughter, as she's on the table at a morgue. Or, yes, that's my sister. Or, yes, that's my mom. You know, these are not things that anybody who's ever had to go through something like that that is definitely not something that they ever wanted, envisioned, or thought that this is what would it come down to. And so I applaud her sister for reaching out to me, because this is not easy. And she's trying to find a way to work through this, you know, trying to find a way to get the word out that he did this, and that this does happen a lot more often than we think. And again, if you know of anybody, especially in the stage of realizing, hey, I'm being abused, I want to get out, that is the easiest point of being able to help somebody. The hard part is when they're not at that stage yet. And yes, it can still happen. Like I said, I do have an ex-coworker who was a friend of mine who got killed because her husband couldn't take no for an answer. Couldn't take I am done for an answer. You know, she realized she was being abused and she told him, no, I am not going to take this anymore. And his answer was to go get a semi-automatic gun and go shoot up a daycare. Because that happened to be where she worked. Because she was like a lot of women in that situation. You're being abused. You work, you go home. You're on basically on a timer for every moment that you are not within their sight. And if you do know of anybody who's going through this, please do everything you can to not have them be by themselves with this person. Because they pick up on our cues. Probably quicker than we may even realize or even think. And when you are contemplating even on that level of breaking up with somebody, there is a type of an indifference that goes on with you. And it is picked up on. And all I can do is beg for anybody and everybody, if anybody, you know, is involved in lawmaking and decisions such as this. This is the scariest thing that anybody could be going through. You know, because it doesn't end with the breakup either. It continues. And for her, if he wouldn't have got her then, I can honestly tell you he would have stalked her. Just flat out. Because that is also something that goes on a lot, is stalking. And a lot of times they will go like just on the edge where yes, it is stalking, but it's not legally stalking. And you have to get referred by the police station to say yes, it's stalking, in order for the courts to pick that up from there. You can't just go to the court and say, hey, I'm being stalked. They'll tell you gotta go to the police first. And if the police don't feel that it goes under that criteria, then you're kind of SOL. And like I said, there's a lot of stuff that goes on even after. It is one of the most dangerous times that anybody can go through. And she unfortunately went through the hardest and the most hellish way of breaking up with somebody. And nobody's life should ever be in danger because you want to break up with somebody. And if anybody, even one person, can be there, it could possibly stop a death of your friend, your loved one, family member. It could literally stop it, because there is an eyewitness and they know that there's more than just him and her there. And if he loses his cool, there's a way that people can say, yo, okay, you're done, get out, okay? You can call the cops while she's, whatever's going on. There are things that can go on that you can advocate for somebody as an eyewitness of what's going on. And I do applaud anybody who has reached out to me and let me know about things like this, because I was one of the lucky ones. It didn't wind up being that way. Could it have been? Yes. There were I got stalked myself, and I know I'm not the only one. But this, nobody should ever have to give up their life because they don't want to be with somebody anymore. That is just, I don't, I'm speechless in essence when it comes down to some of this, because the behavior is so appalling. At least he did get 22 years, but the thing is, he's been able to live 22 years. She was 17. She had a whole entire life ahead of her, and he decided to take it away. Because if I can't have her, nobody can. And it's just ridiculous. And for all those victims out there, if you are going to break up with somebody, please do not do it the normal way. Especially though these abusers, they don't have a correct compass. Their compass has been broken for a long time. That's why they were abusing you. That's why they were abusing your loved one. They don't know. They know what they're doing is wrong, but for whatever ungodly reason, they think they can get away with it. They think they have a right to do what they're doing. Which also means if they lose it completely and they wind up trying to kill somebody because of this, they're also believing and thinking at that time that they're in the right for doing what they did. And I'm sorry, that is very sick, that is very twisted, and we have to do everything we can to help those that are involved in something like this. So thank you again for listening. And I will see you guys next time. But again, please do not sit in silence when it comes to anybody going through such horrific abuse as domestic violence. Thank you.